Right now on VFN TV, the persecution of Christians across the globe is greater than it's ever been at any time in history. We're going to talk about that, those numbers, and even genocide is taking place right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Persecution of Christians is so high that we're almost at genocide levels. That's actually the removal of a people off the face of the earth. It's happening in the European countries. It's happening in the Middle East. It's happening through the world right now. Sri Lanka, we just had the major explosion where, you know, at the Easter celebration where all these churches were together and killed almost 250 people and wounded many, many others. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, he's joining me is John Ramos. And these levels of persecution is so major, isn't it, John?
It's a major thing that's happening right now. And we really need, as Christians, be watchful and prayerful about what's occurring, because we're talking about, particularly in the Middle East, mass extermination. In 2003, there was reportedly 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. Today, those numbers are 120,000 believers are left, less. That's about 10% of the Christian population.
And that comes after ISIS and where they were putting the N letter over doors for Nazarene, and they were taking people's property. They were crucifying Christians. They were crucifying Muslims who weren't Muslim enough. And they were building this caliphate in that area. And, you know, thanks to President Trump, understand, when he sent the troops in there and just dealt with it in a few months and ended it, he ended the major genocide of Christians taking place in that particular area, at least at that moment. If he wouldn't have stopped that,
and the previous completely wiped out.
Well, you think about the previous administration, they were doing everything to fuel that.
That's right.
It was just everything that was going on was like, at what point are you not going to be empathetic towards the death of human beings who happen to be Christians, or I think there were, Mount Sinjar, there were
unfathomable what was happening when the United States has so much power and leverage and strength that we've helped people for many years. When you have Christians that were being chased up a mountain and their people were fleeing, and they testified in Congress to this, and yet very little was done in the previous administration. I'm grateful for this president, President Trump, and what he's doing now, but this is really concerning. This is what the BBC reports. It says the persecution of Christians in parts of the world is at near genocide levels, according to a report ordered by Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt. The review led by the Bishop of Truro, Philip Munstephen, estimated that 1 in 3 people suffer from religious persecution.
1 in 3.
1 in 3. Think about that.
1 in 3. That alone should help Christians realize, you know, that we need to pay attention.
Yeah.
That whoever is in leadership can change that situation. It matters who the king is. It matters who your president or prime minister is.
But in particular, this is what this report found out.
Okay.
Christians were the most persecuted religious group. Think about that. And we learned on a previous program where Glenn Beck shared that out of the, 1,800 persecutions that were occurring in Europe, 1,300 of the 1,800 were against Christians.
That's it.
And that was in Europe. So you see this happening in Europe. You see it happening in the Middle East. And this is a physical extermination.
They barely mention it. It's like media silence when it comes time to a Christian or a Jew being persecuted on the earth. But all of a sudden, if one situation happens, you know, about a hijab or something like that, this hits the news, and it's like somebody just lost their life.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was just killed. Somebody was just, you know, blown up in their church because they were just happened to be Christian.
For a belief.
Yeah, for a belief.
In God. Not because they committed a crime.
Right.
Not because they murdered or raped or stole something.
Right.
But because they believed in God. This is getting actually a lot of attention. And we even have the Prince of Wales sharing some heartfelt concern about what is happening to Christians. In fact, take a look.
It is an indescribable tragedy that Christianity is now under such threat in the Middle East, an area where Christians have lived for 2,000 years and across which Islam spread in 700 AD, with people of different faiths living together peaceably for centuries. It seems to me that our future as a free society, both here in Britain and throughout the world, depends on recognizing the crucial role played by people of faith. And of course, religious faith is all the more convincing to those outside the faith when it is expressed with humility and compassion, giving space to others, whatever their beliefs.
So you're looking at Prince Charles, obviously, yeah. And he's sharing about the persecution, the history of Great Britain. When you think about that, they've seen so many different things, you know, take place. And it's just amazing what's taking place in the world right now. And, you know, part of the last days that would take place is there'd be great persecution against, you know, the Jews and Christians on the face of the earth. And these things happen over times in history. People say, well, this is the last days. Well, it wasn't, because we're still here, which means we could do something about this level of persecution that's taking place. It's about being strong. It's about having a strong defense, being so, your military is so strong that nobody wants to fight against the military, thinks they can take it. And right now, things are shifting in the world. Things we have a fleet in America going to the Middle East as we speak right now because of Iran and what they're threatening, Hamas, what they're threatening about potential attacks on America, American people, their different places, against Christians, against Israel. I mean, the world's kind of in flux right now.
And it's interesting that this is happening in the Middle East and Europe, but even if you go to the West, although the persecution is different, I mean, many of us right now in the United States are not fearing our lives, but there is persecution of Christians on many fronts. You see this in the culture, you see this in the media, and you definitely see it in the workplace. Christians are attacked for believing in Jesus. You can't even say the name Jesus without having some sort of ramification. And so there's a lot of things that are happening even on the West. What makes me think, is it a matter of time before Christians are physically hurt
here in the U.S.? Well, it all progresses, and it doesn't get to the level it's happening across the world without first going, well, I won't bring them up anymore. Well, we just kind of we'll just get all of God out of our laws, and it's a gradual progression. And so America's making those progressions right now. Mm-hmm. You know, America's deciding that, you know, we're not going to bring God up because it'll offend somebody in the schools. We're not going to say God sing God. Right now, the one school in Pennsylvania saying we're not going to sing God Bless America because it has God in there and it offends someone. So they took that out of school. Others are saying, we don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance because it says one nation under God. But it's funny, the money says in God we trust.
That's right.
And they don't have any problem
handling
the money.
Yeah.
And so it happens because those decisions are being made. And so we can see where a lot of those decisions have been made, especially in the administration prior to President Trump. Now, President Trump, by God's grace, is making huge swaths of changes in regards to laws, in regards to how we're responding. He's not ashamed to be an American. He's not ashamed for Christians to stand up and say who their faith is. He just had National Day of Prayer in the White House and allowed, you know, Christians and Jews to come up and openly pray right there in the Rose Garden. And they talked about Jesus and prayed God's blessing and protection over the president and his family and his team, and came against the spiritual enemy, which is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that would come against our president. Listen, God will bless a nation whose God is the Lord.
Yeah.
And so you think about this, that we can be in that direction, and we were headed in that direction, and for some reason, even though they were saying some right things, we were going in a very wrong direction. But how you value life, you know, if we all of a sudden take the life of an innocent person who can't speak, a child in the womb, it won't be long before they start taking life that can speak, you know, the elderly or someone that says, you know, for the collective, you know, this is good to be able to let this people group, you know, suffer for the collective. But we don't mind you talking as long as you come over here in these ghettos, what happened to the Jews in Germany. They let them keep talking, but they actually put them in a lockdown, fenced-in area, basically the ghetto. And they went from there once people forgot about them. And they said they took it from there and started transporting them to a place that they would end their life.
Oh, so powerful, what you said earlier about how this is a progressive thing that happens.
Yes.
Makes me think of the proverbial frog that didn't jump out of the boiling water.
Yeah.
As the heat got hotter, he got comfortable.
Right.
And maybe we're at this point here in America right now. We're so close.
And you have to pay attention when you're comfortable. You have to pay attention now. And you do that by staying in the Word, staying close, hearing what's going on, seeing what's taking place, and realizing if it's happening to anybody else anywhere in the world, an injustice anywhere to one person is an injustice to everyone, as Dr. King would say. So we have to pay attention to that. If we don't have compassion on those that are being persecuted now and reach out to defend them, to stand up for them, we'll talk about how you can actually do that prayerfully, but also financially. We're going to have an organization that you'll be able to talk about that's doing that very thing. But listen, comment below. What are your thoughts on this? These are huge numbers, the tragedies that are taking place. What are your thoughts? You know, you start praying, comment, and post your prayers below, and write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. You know, talk specifically about something maybe you've seen, something that you've heard, something that you feel that can be done, and prayers. We want to hear those specific things. John, what's next?
When we get back from this break, we're going to listen to Molly Line as she shares some of these countries where some of these atrocities are actually happening. We're also going to be talking about, reportedly, an attack that's scheduled during the month of Ramadan against Christians. They're being targeted, but this is a specific threat. Join us when we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back. I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator. I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody knows needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why am I writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get your, it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We want to send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600 yeah. Wisdom nuggets in addition to these success strategies. It's yours now, vfnkb.com.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to vfntv.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at vfntv.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that.
You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The persecution of Christians across the earth is coming the numbers are so high, so many, that they're even talking about. It's even close to the persecution reaching genocidal type levels when you think about it, right? Let's take a look right now. This is Molly Lyon as she's talking specifically about it.
A new interim report released at the request of the British Foreign Secretary says Christian persecution in some parts of the world is, quote, close to meeting the international definition of genocide, with Christians being targeted by extremist groups in the Middle East, sub-Saharan Africa, and East Asia. For more on this, we bring in the president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council and senior fellow of the Philos Project, Juliana Tamarazzi. Juliana, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me on, Molly.
It's really startling to see that sort of figure, that takeaway from the report, that it could potentially be reaching genocidal levels. Also worth noting from this report, 80% of religious believers who are being persecuted around the world are Christians. Should this be a wake-up, a worldwide wake-up?
Absolutely. There has been a genocide that is already underway. And perpetrated by ISIS. As you know, Secretary Kerry announced this as a genocide of the Christians of Iraq and also the Yazidis. But this has been going on for so long. For example, in terms of Iraq, the Assyrians, also the Chaldeans and the Syriacs of Iraq have come under persecution starting 2003 until today. Our numbers were 1.5 million today, down to 200,000 people. And look at Sri Lanka. Look at what happened there. Look at what's happening in India. Nobody's really talking about India. So we're grateful for Secretary Hunt and also Ambassador at Large Brownback for really stepping up to do something in a positive way, in a more meaningful way. But there's so much that needs to get done still worldwide. According to Open Doors report, 1 out of 9 Christians, Mali, across the world are being persecuted today.
It's just a tragedy is taking place. You think about the Middle East is the land of the Bible. Mm. I mean, when you talk about the churches that he speaks about in Book of Revelation, those are located in Turkey. When you look at the Garden of Eden, you're looking at southern Iraq, wow. These different areas and regions. So when you read your Bible, it's the land of the Bible when you think about it. And of all the things, the most oldest Christians lineage in the world, is in Iraq in these different areas. And so you look for millions now down to 200,000, 120,000. It's just the enemy coming in trying to remove God off the face of the earth, but it's not going to happen. It's God's earth. It's God's world. But men and kings still conspire against God. I mean, just what he talked about specifically.
Foolishness of men, right?
So when you think about the definition of genocide, because we hear that word thrown around a lot, John, read that definition of genocide.
It's defined as the systematic and widespread extermination or attempted extermination of a national race, religious, or ethnic group.
So basically, it's the extermination of Christians on the face of the earth. And when you see people standing up who are moral loyal to other nations and other kings and faiths that hate America and hate the God that America stands for. We are one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One of the founding documents of our country is the Bible. You know, as the ambassador to the Israeli ambassador at the UN recently spoke up and held up the Bible, and he said, this is our documentation, right?
This is the title
to the land of Israel. And it's the most persecuted book, the most burned book, the most destroyed book, but yet the most read book and the most popular book on the face of the earth. But in that, when you think about it, look again at this map of the destruction that's taken place, or persecution of Christians all over the world. You look at Israel, you look at Iraq,
Egypt.
You look at Egypt, Syria, Iraq, China, the Philippines, North Korea. North Korea's not on there, but they're a major persecutor.
Number one.
And you know, it's time for us to stand up. Listen, America is the most powerful, largest military, biggest economy, a very large nation. When you think about other nations, you know, Canada, basically the population of Canada could fit into a state inside of the 50 states. Yeah. And you look at, you know, we love these countries and the people you're watching right now. They compare America to these other countries, and there's only like two or three countries that are bigger than America. It's just a huge, it's not only big, but it has a blessed economy that's doing really well, has a huge military. You know, the budget on the military is like around $900 billion in 1 year. And that's so that we can be strong enough to defend folks in foreign lands and us from tyranny and things taking place.
But we have to speak up.
Yeah.
And do something about it. This is what Martin Niemöller said. He said, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and then there was no one left to speak for me.
And that's so true. How many people are just laying back as this is taking place? And it's like the ultimate goal of the enemy of mankind is to destroy you because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. When he sees you, he sees the face of God. When he sees how God created you, you remind him of God. He knows he's lost. The end, he loses. But the reality is we don't know that. We just sit back while we're allowing men to be, you know, destroyed on the face of the earth for their belief in their faith. I mean, if anybody, this is one man said this, he said, listen, actually Ravi Zacharias said this. He said, okay, you're in the middle of a jungle and you're riding down the road and it's dark and all of a sudden your car breaks down and you're trying to get your car working and it's dark and all of a sudden you hear somebody coming out of the woods. You hear, you know, leaves that are crumbling and different noises coming out, and your anxiety gets up. You don't know what's about to happen. This is what Robbie says. Robbie says, now, how would you feel better if the five people coming out of the woods were Christians or not Christians? And the majority of that answer always was if they're Christians. Because Christians are not going to harm you.
That's right.
Christians understand that they need to, they're called to love you, to forgive you, to pray for their enemies, to bless those who curse them, and pray, and those that are following the scriptures, you know, those that lie on you and misuse you, that we're supposed to be kind to them. Somebody hits you, you're not supposed to hit them back. I mean, you want, you know, they're supposed to pray for those in authority over you. The only reason somebody would want to take a Christian out is because they're the enemies of God, or you have a Christian that's not living by biblical principles, that's actually working the last nerve of a people group that's going on, that's being hateful instead of moving in love. And so there's the only way to think about it. Why would ISIS come down when they're beheading people, they're crucifying people, they're taking people's property and home? Why in the world would they want to feel like they could kill Christians, they could take their property, because to them, that they were the enemy, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his followers are Satan's direct enemy. That's the only thing that...
In fact, speaking about that, the Washington Examiner is reporting that ISIS will target Christians in an annual Ramadan offensive. And this is what they're predicting. The Islamic State will target Christians as part of the terrorist group's offensive during the up-and-coming Islamic holy month of Ramadan, this new report predicts. ISIS operatives, of course, they were took credit for the Sri Lanka massacre of the 250 Christians and hundreds of others that were sent to the hospital. But this is something that they have done in times past, in particular in 2014. And so this is something that we definitely want to be alerted to, something that we want to pray. But also this is a time for us to awaken ourselves to other organizations and ministries that are actually doing something for the persecuted church. We want to encourage you to go to opendoorsministry.org, as they've been working for many years.
Opendoors.org or opendoorsministry.org?
Opendoors.org.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Opendoors.org. As they've been working to help the persecuted church for many years, they produce an annual report that shows that the top list of countries that have been persecuting Christians.
Sad.
And North Korea has been, for many years, number one. But many of the countries in the Middle East have been listed probably near the top 10.
And it's hard to really know exactly what North Korea is doing because they're the hermit kingdom. They're closed up. And so if we know this is what they're doing with the closed community, you can imagine what they're really doing. Mm. I mean, they have. We had a story on it where they put people in, you know, you can't even stand up. It's a little, you're bent over the whole time. You're in this gulag type situation. You're not being fed. You're starving. You're busting big rocks to small rocks. If you profess to be a Christian and follow Jesus, then not only you, but like two or three of your generations, your mom, your brother, your uncle, they have to go there as well.
Yeah. If you're in jail, you have to come out of almost a doggy door.
Yeah.
And you're not to look people in the eye. You got to come out as an animal.
Yeah.
It's very horrific how they treat a human being.
And they were literally having to eat seeds coming from the dung of an animal to dig that out to be able to eat. This is what's happening right now. And Jesus said this. He said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was being persecuted, you did nothing. And so they said, Jesus, when did we see? He says, whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. And then others, he says, listen, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, when I was being persecuted in prison, you came and visited me. It matters how you respond in the eyes of God to those who are being persecuted. And if you're the one being persecuted, it matters to you. If somebody's praying for you, somebody's, you know, responding to you. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but I remember specifically when there was a particular Christian, she was pregnant, she was in jail, she was chained, and holding her there for the life sentence because she was actually Ibrahim, I think her name
Miriam
is.
Miriam Ibrahim.
That because she was a believer, she wouldn't renounce her faith in Jesus Christ. And so we began to pray and fast in a time for the persecuted church, and we watched God during that period of time, a miraculous release. We did a program on it. But it was like, as we prayed and fasted, she was about to be released, and they weren't, and we continued to pray and fast. And by the time we finished that prayer and fasting, she was out, she was free, and she was in America. It matters what you're doing. And what we do, we have a prayer community that we pray every Monday for 24 hours. You know, we learned that from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri. And you just pray, begin to pray. Join us in praying for the persecuted church. Go to opendoors.org and support financially. Do something so Jesus can say, when I was hurting, when I was persecuted, you did something for me. Let's pray for them right there. Father God, we just pray for the persecuted church. God, send your angels out, God, in this persecution. God, shift the global atmosphere, Father God, that would honor your name and honor Jesus and that honor your followers, God. And Lord, break this lukewarm state off of us that's in our hearts, that we'd be on fire for you, Father God, and that this would not continue to happen, but we would begin to evangelize and tell people about the goodness of God, God. And Lord, we ask you, dear God, in this persecution, in abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends, they're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who were had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually, these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years. And where he met us in the wilderness, we went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful thing. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you're alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel. Preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can sit 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now.